From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
Yeah, how do you feel about traffic here in the city?
I hate it. Especially in Center City. If you need to get anywhere around 5 o'clock, it's impossible.
Sometimes it's not so bad, sometimes it's pretty bad.
I hate it. Like, in the city, like, it's just so hard. It's always congested.
People can't even get around, cross the street half of the time. You know what I mean? Too much traffic.
Philadelphia, like a lot of other cities, has a traffic problem. And while more people are biking and walking, there are still lots of cars clogging the streets. Now officials are looking to another city that's doing something a little controversial. You may have heard about it.
Last week, New York's governor and legislature both approved what's known as congestion pricing. It will charge drivers a fee to drive into the heart of Manhattan.
Philadelphia says it'll be watching New York City closely to see whether congestion pricing works. But this is far from the first attempt to cut down on traffic. Louis Kahn, one of the most famous architects to come out of Philadelphia, tried to do it back in the 50s. So why did his plan fail? And why might future cities have something to learn from it? Today on The Why, Philadelphia decongested. I talked about Kahn's plan with Bill Whitaker. He's curator and collections manager of the Architectural Archives at the University of Pennsylvania School of Design. Around the beginning of the 20th century, America was starting to see the rise of the car. And, of course, American cities at that time were pretty much built pre-automobile. So how did Philadelphia and places like that handle more and more cars at that time?
Well, they imposed it on an existing structure. And so it's fascinating to look at the historic photographs of the city. And you can just, you know, go decade by decade and you see cars showing up in the photos by about 1910. You see gas stations emerging out of storefronts and the pumps are literally on the sidewalk. So it was something that had to take
time.
Pumps
right on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Just that was
no, it was like the general store and they just added a gas pump. So it was something that grew over time, and given Philadelphia's age as one of the earliest cities in the United States, there was a lot to contend with.
And I seem to remember like looking at old pictures and really like cars and carriages and people were kind of occupying the same space for a while, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it was crazy because you had so many different tempos going on, and that was only accelerated when, you know, people got a gas pedal to press.
So one person who came along, tried to tackle this problem later, is Lou Kahn. So let's back up for a minute. Who is Lou Kahn? Give me a little bit of his background.
Sure. Lou Kahn is a great Philadelphian. He grew up in this city. He wasn't born here. He was an immigrant. He came to this country in 1906. But he grew up in Northern Liberties, went to school here, and walked the city as a young boy. He literally knew Philadelphia before there were cars. Mm. So he saw this modern city, industrial soot all over the place. But he's an architect. He's someone who grew up wanting to be an artist and embracing art and found his future in architecture.
My last year in high school, when a course given on architecture just hit me so strongly as something that I wanted to be associated with.
So what are some examples of, you know, some notable work that Lou Kahn did?
I think his most significant building that people think about is he did a world capital in the city of Dhaka in Bangladesh. It's 1,000 acres. It's a couple hundred buildings. It's got a magnificent parliament building in the center of that. That is set within a reflecting lake.
That's right. This is right on the water, and you just see the whole thing reflected right in the lake.
Yeah, and the urban space of Bangladesh is on the river. He became one of the great architects of the 20th century. He literally helped us rethink how we think about architecture to be more sensitive to places.
The street is really a room by agreement. I can tell you that for the first time, when I thought of this simple thing, that I could design any city in the world.
But also to think fundamentally about the human values that we embody in cities and places and how architecture and landscape architecture serves that.
An architect can build a house and build a city in the same breath. if he only thinks about it as being a marvelous, expressive realm.
By the 50s, he's pretty established, and in cities around the country, traffic at that point was getting a lot worse. So in 1952, he did this traffic study. Can you just describe like what it was and what he was trying to do with it?
You know, the traffic studies are visionary, forward-looking studies. You know, he's literally imagining that you completely can reorganize the movement patterns within a city to make it a better place. And so picture a series of drawings where he's comes up with this kind of marvelous hieroglyphics of arrows and dots and other patterns that are showing the kind of movement through the city and getting a sense of the different speed and tempo within the city.
I'm going to do my best here to describe this map, which you can see at our episode page at whyy.org/the-y. The map is on a yellowing piece of trace paper, and it's clearly Center City. You can see where City Hall is, where Market Street and Broad Street are, but then you notice all these tiny arrows flowing around the edge of Center City.
Those arrows accumulate to form a thick line.
And right at the top and bottom of that loop around the city are these giant cylinders with little spirals at the top.
And that's municipal parking structures.
And then inside Center City is the street grid we're familiar with. And there are arrows going along the streets, but not as many as the big loop around the map.
You can see the density of those arrows are getting, you know, thinner.
And then lots of the streets don't have any arrows at all. They just have these little dots.
Greenways through the city.
So what exactly would all of this mean for traffic in the city?
He used the analogy of rivers, harbors, canals, and docks. You can imagine that a river is a great, you know, it's a wide, you know, a thoroughfare. It's carrying a lot of water, right? And so those are the highway. So picture yourself in your car. There's lots of other cars. You're approaching the city. You're coming along the center of the city. And that it's time to get off, right? And so that you come into a harbor. And that might be the parking garages or these areas which, you know, harbored many cars, right? And that might be places where certain people would leave their car and walk into the city. There would be a series at that point for that group of people, you know, greenways that would allow you to connect with civic areas, with some of the commercial core, or go to museums and so on. There might be a secondary system of movement, and that's the canals, right? So, you know, picture a canal boat. This is not a great ocean-going liner. It's a smaller scale way of movement. So there would be avenues and ways that you would drive into the city core.
But the idea here is that you've created enough places to take an alternative, to like leave your car and get out and experience the city in some other way, that the traffic in those smaller areas just wouldn't be as heavy?
Well, you recognize the individual identity of each of the different ways that you're moving in, and you've given a place for it, right? So that you've rethought the totality of the system. You know, he's really created a new system of order for movement through the city.
Why didn't a plan like this ever happen in Philadelphia?
The plan was met with skepticism from the point of view of its practical application. So it was presented. It was never advanced to a serious consideration amongst the City Planning Commission or amongst the city government. The plan didn't happen.
And what did happen? What was implemented?
Well, we were building highways whether we liked it or not. And instead of giving the design of these systems to architects and to people who were mindful of, you know, the civic expression, they turned it over, and forgive me, to, you know, highway engineers.
As Americans gathered to celebrate the completion of local sections of the national system of interstate and defense highways.
There was a great fight over the alignment of I-95 along the Delaware River. I-95 got sunk enough so at least there's a connection between Society Hill and Old City,
right,
to the waterfront. And architects fought the South Street Expressway, which was an example of where you understood that the highways were being used to separate, you know, groups of people. Maybe Kahn's ideas would have transcended those limitations. We don't know because they were never able to be taken forward.
Most major American cities have issues in 2019 with traffic congestion. Philadelphia is not the worst, but it's in, by some accounts, it's in the top 20 most congested cities in the country. And officials are now considering doing what New York has done, which is put in this congestion pricing for maybe part of the city. We can debate the specifics of, you know, this plan, whether that would have been the thing that worked. But it seems like it was an attempt to plan our way out of traffic problems, to sort of reshape the city and try to reshape behaviors to make the city less congested. But because we didn't really end up doing that, we're now considering what some people might call it like a more punitive measure here, which is putting in, you know, a tax on coming into the city. Would he have preferred a like a design solution as a designer?
Well, I think all architects, you know, think about things from the point of view of what they do. It's their livelihood, but it's also the opportunity to connect to people and to see those sorts of interactions emerge in a city place.
Do you think that not implementing some form of traffic study or something like this is a missed opportunity for the city?
Sure. I mean, in the sense that it's just to try and reinvent the entire circulation of an urban metropolitan city is very difficult. It's incredibly difficult to reshape our cities because of all the investment that's gone into it, all the infrastructure. And so maybe some of these ideas wind up in new cities. You know, in the next 100 years, we're going to build, you know, like 350 New York cities on the planet to adapt to human population growth.
And maybe they'll be better at
maybe they'll
traffic.
Be better. And maybe they'll recognize that you need to implement some of those structures.
Bill, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Sure. You're welcome.
The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall and Alex Stern, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. Our intern is Xavier Lopez. Send a tweet at Shai Ben-Yaakov. We'll be back Monday.
It is my belief that all living things have consciousness. That a leaf wants to be a leaf.